So I know it'll surprise you, but I was thinking as I left last week, and the thing that I was thinking most about was what a great group of youth you guys have. It is not every church that I go into where the youth are engaged. And I see some of the youth taking notes, but looking, listening, asking, engaged. And I want you to know that that is not the norm. So take good care of your youth, because God has given you a choice bunch of young people in this church. Watch over them, guide them, and make sure that God is, that we are constantly lifting them up and giving them praise and praise to the Father. Amen. Last week, I think I told you I was closing down the series on the Word of God, and I am starting a new series today. I like to preach in a series. You know, if I was pastoring a church, I'd be preaching through probably books of the Bible kind of a thing, because I like expository preaching. But since I only get to come and kind of give a shotgun, I like to share a little bit more in a focused manner than just doing a different sermon in a different area every week. And it's fun for me to do that kind of study anyway. Keeps me on my toes a little bit. And so I've heard from a lot of you that you really did enjoy that study on the Word of God. And I don't hardly ever do this, but I'm going to this morning. If you have a little short testimony of something that where God spoke to you through any part of that series, if you'd like to just share a little bit of that with us this morning, that'd be great. And if not, we'll move right on. Okay, good. Yeah.
In our CR group on Friday, after we do our normal sharing, usually we'll kind of discuss what we learned, like being in Christ or helping each other with our scripture, like what was in the mind.
Good. Yeah. When I was pastoring, when we had two services, morning and evening, I would preach in the morning service, but then we would have question and answer in the evening service based on the morning service. And it was really helpful, I think, to everybody, because as much as I am open to having a few of you raise your hands and say, whoa, back up the truck, I didn't understand what you just said or something like that, if we do too much of that, we could be here till 2 o'clock. And I've got to drive to Denver this afternoon, and I'd rather not this week. Okay. So this week, I am beginning a new series. I think I shared that with you last week. I'm going to begin a new series on the church, the body of Christ. I think that much of what we do and what we call church today is based more on Western tradition than it is biblical spirituality. And so I will probably share some things that will upset some of you. I already have, we can tell that, just by the number of people that I told my wife, we got here a little bit earlier, and I told my wife, I said, man, I've made a lot of people mad because the parking lot was almost empty. And she being the great wife that she is, said, "Are you a mind reader?" So, I don't know. When I go to conferences these days, and for many years, one of the things that always comes up is the average church. What is the average church? Everybody wants to know, what's the average church? And it just makes me so mad. I wonder what the Father has to say about us looking at His Son's sacrificial body and calling it the average church. The church is a miracle. You can tell that from the leadership that we've had over centuries that it even exists anymore. Amen? The church is a miracle. It's like nothing else that ever has been or ever will be. It is the living body of Christ. It is old, yet it's new. It's fresh and sometimes stale. It can be exciting, and sometimes when Steve preaches, it's mundane. It can be, is now, and forever will be a change agent in the world. Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. You all know this story. Let me read it to you. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze right at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, and wouldn't this be disheartening? "I don't have any money. I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold. But what I have, I want to give to you. Give me your hand. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk." Wow! And what happened? Guy stood up. Not only did he feel the strength that he'd never felt. Remember, he's been lame from birth. Amen? He has never felt strength in his legs. He has never had to balance. He's never had to use that big toe. He's never seen what the world looks like from up here. And as John is reaching down and Peter and pulling him up, that guy's just going, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." That's what I would be doing. It would be so scary and yet so exciting. And then once you're standing up there and you're learning how to balance, and then you're kind of walking and you're learning how to walk for the first time in your life. And then you went, wow! And you start jumping around, and that's what it says, that he was leaping and walking and running. And he walked right into the temple with them, and people were looking at him and going, wow, what happened to that guy? And I wonder if we could interview him. And we walked up and we said, pardon me, sir, but I remember seeing you sitting outside for years now, begging alms outside, and I was just wondering, what happened? And he would say something like, oh, man, you can't even believe it. I was just sitting there, man, I was getting ready to beg alms, and this guy came up, these two guys came up, and they said, what's going on? And I was thinking they'd give me money, but they said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk. And look at me now, man, I am going and blowing. I can help somebody else now. I'm so excited about stuff. And we would say, oh, that's just your average miracle. Really? But we do that with the church, don't we? What is your average church? What is an average miracle? And I don't think there is such a thing. We are the miracle of God joined together by His blood and His resurrection as one body in Christ. Amen. So, to begin with, don't be embarrassed. I do that all the time. In fact, I've been up here and had my phone go off, so I just leave it out in my truck now. It gets too weird. In fact, as I've had some pastors do that on purpose to me. Pastor, I was preaching Foreign Rifle one time. We were good friends, and he knew I was preaching for him. And he was out of state someplace, and he knew what was going on. And at like 11:45, he called me. The word that we use for church in the Greek, you got anything up there? Yeah, ekklesia. I didn't know whether the Greek really translated or not. I in my sermon notes, I just left in the Greek words there, but Matt took them out, thankfully. So it's either ekklesia or ekklesia. You can pronounce it either way. I had a Greek professor that was from Mississippi, and so it was always ekklesia, you know. So that's the way I learned to pronounce it. Ekklesia is the Greek word that we now translate as church. But I want you to understand the roots behind this. Ekklesia was used primarily as a military term. And it was used to call out, and that's actually what the word means, to call out. And so a recruiter would come through a town and they would blast the trumpets, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of the eligible age young men would come out, so they would be calling them out to service. And that's really where that started, is we are the called out ones. Isn't that cool? It didn't have any religious significance. It could also be used as a mob or a crowd. 110 times it's used in the New Testament. About 80 of those times it is used for the local church. Is the local church important? Absolutely. There's a huge movement going on right now that says, oh, the local church is not that important. I belong to the universal body of Christ. So I don't really need to be a part of a church. And that's a lie from the enemy, folks. Let me give you an example. Let's use the army for an example, if you will. So how do I get into the army? I make a choice to join, right? I'm not going to trick you, so you can shake your head yes or whatever like that. It's okay. So I make a choice to join the army. One of the first things that they will do after I get signed up and I'm all ready to go and all like that, they will send me to boot camp. If it operated like the church does, it'd be like people going around going, yeah, I signed up for the army, but I don't really want to go where they want me to go. I'm going to go over here, and I'm not really ready to go down and start boot camp this month. I'll wait a couple months, and I'll go over here because I've got family over here. How do you think that would fly with the U.S. Army? Not well. When you get to boot camp, that sergeant says, for the next period of time, I am your mommy, I am your daddy, I am everything you will need. We will dress you, we will feed you, we will assign you, and you will go. Amen? And if you don't, then you end up in the brig. God doesn't really have a brig. But the reality is that we treat the army of God. And by the way, all the way through the Old Testament and some in the New Testament, he is called the Lord of Armies. And we treat the army of God, the church of God, in such an offhanded manner that it is no wonder that our churches are weak. It is no wonder that people really don't want to be a part of it. We are warriors in the army of God. In the same way that the army operates, God said, when you decide to join me, when you decide that I am your Lord and Savior, I will feed you, I will dress you, I will train you, and I will assign you. Amen? Or, oh me. We have fallen into the world's trap of thinking we're in charge of our lives. So we give a nod to God, and then we go on and live however we want to live. And especially you young people, listen to this. It is not your choice. It is not your choice for a career. Young people, old people, it is up to God. And He will let you know where He wants to place you. The placement is not dependent upon where my family is, or where I can get the best job, or where the cheapest housing is, or all the other thousands of thought patterns that go through our minds when we're making spiritual decisions by worldly standards. And I'm telling you, just fouls up everything. The church of God. The church of God is run by God, not by us. Not by us. The actual word church was not used for a group of people like this until about 1400 AD. It was always used for a building, as in the house of the Lord. Well, our word church actually came about from the Germanic tribes, not from the Greek or Hebrew. And it meant house of the Lord, Kirk. And that's where it really came from. Our Spanish and Latino brothers and sisters have a closer translation and understanding, and you will see it written down, and you've probably heard it before, that they are the Iglesia Bautista Verdad y Vida. That is, Iglesia, Ecclesia. Do you see the difference? I mean, it's just, they're listening. And they're saying, this is who we are. And they put that first. We are the ones called out. We have watered down that thought pattern about the army of God by just calling us the church. Oh, are you going to church today? Or what church do you go to? Oh, I don't. I stay home and I watch, you know, this program or that program, and that's my church for Sunday morning. Really? Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 16. By the way, I haven't done a raspberry in church in a long time. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, my church, my called out ones. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it." Wow. Now I didn't write this down, so you get this next little part for free. When we think about that scripture and think about the reality of who we are as the army of God, it makes so much more sense. Because what Jesus says is, the gates of Hades will bust at the onslaught of my army. Amen? He's not saying the enemy's coming against us. He says, man, they're fortified, but we're going to bust through. We have power in the world that we're not using. We're the ones that have kind of forted up instead of being the on-the-march enemy. He is the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. That's what that means. The Lord of hosts is better translated the Lord of armies. I believe that Jesus knew exactly what he was using, the word that he was using right there in the thought pattern of those called out. It was the first time that that word had ever been applied to us. Wow. And it will be for all of eternity. We are the church, the body of Christ. I want us to look at a couple other thought patterns here, if you will. I want us to understand that when Jesus came into the world, that there was no such thing as the church. The church is not a redo of the synagogue. Christianity is not a redo of Judaism. Y'all hear me say that? Thus, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The church is the living, powerful, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God army of God. We are His body. We are His body. And here's where the sermon starts, by the way. I have 3 points. We are His body by fact. We are His body by fact. Read with me, if you will, in Ephesians and chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And Paul, writing here to the church at Ephesus, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over the church, which is his body. Amen. 38 times in the New Testament, you will see where the church, ecclesia, is called the body of Christ, which is his body. It is a spiritual fact that we are the body of Christ, resident upon the planet Earth. Those things that God is going to do on planet Earth, he is going to do through the church. Not through an individual. Amen? But he is going to do it through the church. If the population of this community, if the population of this state, if the population of the planet is going to know about the living God and experience salvation in Jesus Christ, it will be done through the local church. That is what God has chosen to do. Amen? If there is to be a revival, and by the way, I'm not really big on that word revival because I'm not sure that many of us have ever been vived. And you can't have a revival until you have a vival. And so I like the term spiritual awakening. And I am praying for a spiritual awakening to happen, first of all, in God's church, and then to blow out through the communities, through our state, through the United States, and through the world. And I believe that it can happen from the West. God is sending people from all over the world to Colorado. And we think about them as tourists. And if you say that, it kind of comes out with spit. It's kind of like when the Jewish people used to talk about the Samaritans, and then they'd spit to get the taste out of their mouth. I mean, that's true. That's a fact. And when Janice and I were pastoring in Vail, this was back in the 80s, and there was a bumper sticker that it said, "If it's tourist season, why can't we shoot them?" But the reality is, aren't they people that God is sending to us? Can't we think about them as guests and visitors in our wonderful place of abode? Instead of thinking about them as a headache for the money, all those kinds of nasty things, let's love on them. Let's find ways to minister to them. Let's show them Jesus while they're here. We are his body by fact. We are his body by faith. Colossians 1:13-20. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Listen, he is also the head of the body, the ecclesia. And he is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. I loved the verse of Scripture out of Revelation this morning, that everything in earth and under the earth and in the sea will one day say, honor and praise and glory to our God. Whoa! Can you... It sent chills up and down my back when I started thinking about that. That the fish and the octopus and the slimy things are going to, in their language, raise up and say honor and glory and power to you, O God. And you and I have opportunity to start right now. Setting the standard for that. We are one in Christ. Only as we are reconciled to the Father through the blood of Christ. That's the only way. It isn't by joining a church. It's not by getting dunked under the water. It's not by getting sprinkled by water. It's not because of your mom or your dad or where you were raised or any of the other junk. It is because you have been reconciled by the blood and you have accepted that blood. You have accepted that sacrifice. Acts 4:12 tells us, and there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's pretty direct. It does matter what you believe. There is a lot of people in the world right now that will tell you, well, I use really bad English right there. There are a lot of people in the world that will tell you it doesn't really matter what you believe. You can believe in this God, or you can believe in that God, or you can believe in this God. They all join in the end. And I'm telling you, that's not true. There is no other name. I'm not saying it. We're reading it right out of God's holy word that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. There are many ways of destruction, and some of them are religious. We are one body by fact, we are one body by faith, and the last one, we are one body by function. And I'm going to introduce this week, and this will be my next sermon whenever I'm here again. Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Going back to my opening illustration, if we belong to the army and I'm assigned to a base, and maybe I'm a helicopter pilot, but there are a whole bunch of helicopter pilots, we don't get off the ground without the maintenance people. We don't get off the ground without the radar people. We don't get off the ground without the weapons people. We don't get off the ground without the administrators. We don't get off the ground without the secretaries. We don't get off the ground without thousands of other people oriented toward the same mission. And they may not get the glory of the helicopter pilot, but they are just as crucial to the mission. Every one of you sitting here this morning are crucial to the mission that God has given to this local church. And using the illustration of the body, my friends, if we are not operating as a body, if you're just saying, well, I'm not really that important, or I don't need to be a member of a local church, I'm part of the universal body. Yes, but in all probability, because you're here, God has placed you here for a purpose. And He wants to use your gift, your ministry, and your personality in this local body. And if you don't, if you choose and say, well, it doesn't really matter, you here today are crippling this body. Now you say, well, I don't need to join a church. And I'm saying to you, yes, you do. And if you are not a member of this church, and you're saying, well, I'm just going to wait until they get a pastor and then I'll see if I really like him. Yeah, wow! What that says is that I'm not really willing to commit to what God wants for me. I'm going to shop around a little bit until I get a commanding officer that I think I can work with. Ay, 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 ay. Now, I'm telling you, that doesn't work. Been around church now for 45 years, preaching, teaching, and leading. And all I see with that kind of an attitude is destruction. Don't let it happen to you. Seek out where God wants you to serve and become a part of that local body. Whatever it is, wherever it is. If it's not this body, then you better be praying and finding out what body it is, because you're crippling another body. And we got a lot of body parts of celebration wandering around on Sunday mornings. And I'm not just using a figment of my imagination here, guys. That's exactly what the Word says. He would not have used that language if He did not want us to understand the truth and the reality and the function of the body of Christ. Take it as reality. and operate there. If you will, join me in a closing prayer. Now, I'm just going to ask you to stay seated where you're at, but I want you to really be praying. God, what would you have of my life? If this is the place, allow me to join with this church, with this called out body of Christ to make a difference in this community as this body goes forward. I just want to be where you want me to be, God. I surrender all. And that includes my making all the choices for your army. I'm giving that up. I'm ready to go in your direction. Would you pray with me? Father, use us this morning. Allow us to see you, to see your body in a brand new way, to understand the reality of it. Father, you used specific language to talk about your church, your body. Father, allow that to penetrate our finite minds. God, speak to us now. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.